Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin at a new perek on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to discuss, the Mishnah Gemara we're going to learn today, Mitzvah Hashem, is going to discuss different types of Nedarim that one could possibly make, and the halachic differences between these Nedarim. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Hamuda Hanor Michaveroi. There is no difference between someone who prohibits himself from having benefit from someone else, lamuda himena machel, to someone who prohibits himself from eating, and the Gemara is going to explain this a lot more soon, el adrisis regal. If I said that I may not have any benefit from you, I may not walk into your yard. If I said that I'm not allowed to have only hanos meichel, then I would be allowed to walk onto your property. The Pnei Yeshua and other Achroinim have a machloikus. How could this neder, or how was this neder expressed? Most Mefarshim say that the neder could have been expressed in one of two ways. Either I said, I will not have any hanor from you, or that you say that I may not have any hanor from you. And those are two ways of saying the exact same neder that the Mishnah is referring to. The other Mefarshim disagree, and they, the Pnei Yeshua rather, disagrees, and he says that if I say I may not have Hanor from you, so as we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the Gemara, certain things may be mutter and certain things may be usser. But if somebody says you may not have Hanor from me, then there's no room for discussion, and everybody would agree that every type of benefit is usser. So it says that if I made a neder that you may not have hanor from me, you may not walk onto my property. There's an interesting machloikus ha'achroinim. What would be the halacha if you walk onto my property but you have nothing to gain by walking onto my property? You know, there's no shortcut that you're going to get by walking on my property. You have nothing to gain. Will that be included in the iser of drisus haregel? The Bach says that even if there is no purpose in you walking onto my property, the Mishnah says, Drisus HaRegel is usur. The Shach and Taz disagree, and they say that the only time Drisus HaRegel would be usur, if there was a purpose, you have something to gain by walking onto my property. Otherwise, it would not be usur. The other difference between these two types of Nedarim, says the Mishnah, vessels that are not used in food preparations, something we're going to discuss a lot in today's shiur. If I made a neder, I'm not allowed to have hanor from you, I may not use those vessels of yours. If the neder was to Michael, then I would not be allowed to, then I would be allowed to use those vessels. Says the Mishnah, Hamuda Michael Mechaveri, if the neder is regarding food, Lo Yishalenu, I may not borrow from you, Naf Vekavri, these are different types of seeds, sieves, Rechayim is a grinder, mill, the tanner, and an oven. And most Rishonim explain what the Mishnah is saying, is that not only vessels that prepare the food to be ready for eating, a dish, a plate, a pot, a pan, even these utensils that are not preparing food that will be ready to eat, still is included in the Isser, if I said that I'm not allowed to have Hanos Michael from you. The Chasam Sofer learns a different pshat. He says, many times the naf of a kavra weren't even used for food. They were used just to hold coins or different items. But since these are utensils, they're kalim that are used for food-related purposes, they're usr. Avamashiloi. But if the nether was only regarding Michael, I would be allowed to borrow from you chaluk, v'tabas, a coat, a ring, talis, v'nezamim, nose rings, because those have no relationship to food. So our Mishnah said that if I'm made a neder, that I'm not allowed to have hanor from you, I may not walk into your property. Ask the Gemara Mantana, whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Omer of Adabar Hava, Rebbe Lezahi. It represents the opinion of Rebbe Lezah. The Tanya Rebbe Lezah Omer, Afilu Vitor Osu Emuda Hanor. Vitor means the following. If I make a neder, that I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Now, many times, specifically in those times, if somebody bought a pound of apples, the storekeeper would throw in an extra apple or two. That was the way it worked. So now, Rav Elazar says, if I make a neder that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, even this extra apple, which really doesn't represent anything, because I get it for free, I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Here too, is the Mishnah teaching us that even Drisus HaRegel is also, even though it's very insignificant. That's how most Rishonim learn, that we see that Rav Elazar cares about something that's insignificant, that it's Osir, the Rabbanim disagree. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara in the following way. They explain that we're trying to understand the mind of someone who makes a neder. And what does he include and what doesn't he include? According to Rav Elazar, he has a much broader application. And he even includes these insignificant items, the vitor, the drisus haregel. However, the Rabbanim have a more limited application of the neder, and they don't include the vitor, they don't include the drisus haregel. The Rishonim point out that even the Rabbanim who hold that vitor is mutter, they would agree that I'm not allowed that I would not be allowed to walk into your property and stay there for a long time. Drisus haregel means just to walk in short amount of time. Or the Rishonim say, let's say the property you own is a beautiful garden, that one would enjoy walking into your garden. Even the Rabbanim would agree that that's not just vitur, and it would be usur. There's a very interesting machloikis hachroinim, Rekiv Eger and the Shalman the Dorim. Rekiv Eger says that our Mishnah is only referring to a situation where I said I'm not allowed to have hanor from your guf. I'm not allowed to have hanor from you. But if I said I'm not allowed to have hanor from the nechosim, your nechosim, from your property, even the Rabbanim would agree with Rav Elazar. Rav Shalman Nadarim learns just the opposite. In other words, according to Rekiva, a neder to your nechosim is a much stronger neder than just a neder to you. The Shalman Nadarim learns just the opposite, that a neder to you is a stronger neder than to your nechosim. And if I made a neder, I'm not allowed to have anor from you. There the Rabbanim would agree that I can't have any benefit. The machloikas of Rav Elazar Rabbanon is only when I said I'm not going to have hanor from your nechosim. The Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. Throughout Shas, we have situations where I'm not allowed to have hanor from you. One of the examples is Atzei Asherah. The Torah speaks about an Avodah Zarah, the Asherah tree. The Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that since I'm not allowed to have hanor from an Asherah tree, I'm not allowed to pass under the tree because I'm not allowed to enjoy its shade. So we see that when there's an Isra hanor, I'm not allowed to walk by. So how could our Gemara suggest that according to Rabbanan, when there's a neder, I am allowed to walk by? So I saw two truths. One teretz is, Avodah Zarah has its own dinim. And by Avodah Zarah, I'm not allowed to have any minimal hanor. That has nothing to do with the darim. The darim, as we explained, has to do with what is or is not included in the neder. Another teretz that I saw is, according to Rekiv Eger, it's a gevaldig teretz. Avodah Zarah is like nechosim. Rabbi Kiv Eger told us that when I ask myself from you nechosim, then everybody agrees I can't have any benefit from you. Avodah Zarah is like nechosim, and that's why I can't have any benefit from the Avodah Zarah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Muda Machm Chaveroi Lo Yishalanu. If I made a neder that I can't have a nor from your food, I'm not allowed to borrow from you these different kelim. Ask the Gemara, but I didn't speak about vessels. V'amim Machm Neder. I spoke about the food, not about the vessels. Omer Shim Ben Lakish. But yes, if I would have only said food, then the neder would be limited to the food. Here I said, I'm not allowed to have hanor from your meichel. Ask the Gemara, maybe when I use this wording, what did I mean to say? Ema, that I meant to say, I'm not allowed to chew wheat. In those days, one of the ways of healing a wound was by chewing wheat and then putting the chewed wheat on the wound. And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim. Maybe when one uses this lashon, suggests the Gemara, what I meant to say was that you're not allowed to chew my food. If I said you're not allowed to have hanor from my food, so I'm not allowed to let you even chew my food for the purpose of putting it on my wound. Or another pshat is even if the food is my food, I'm allowed to have hanor from, but your chewing makes it usur. So there's an obvious question when we learn this Gemara. chewing food, chewing wheat and putting it on a wound is certainly shloi kederech achila. It's not the normal way of eating food. And we know that throughout halacha, one of the most prominent places where we find this halacha is in Hilchos Pesach, that if something is eaten shloi kederech achila, it's not considered achila. And the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing by Nedarim. If I make a neder that I'm not going to eat your food, if I eat it shloi kederech achila, it doesn't mean I violated the neder. So why here is the Gemara saying that if I chew wheat, it's considered I violated the neder? So the Rishonim answer, yes. If somebody just says, I'm not going to eat your food, or Hilchos Pesach, eating food shloi kederech achila is not considered eating. Here we're here I used a very unique type of lashon. I said, hanos machelcha. That special type of language comes to include even something eaten shloi kederech achila. So the Gemara's question is, when the neder of hanos machilcha lai was made, who says that it means I'm not allowed to borrow your kalim? Maybe means this, that I'm not allowed to chew your food and put it on my, you're not allowed to chew my, I'm not allowed to have hanos from the food, from the wheat that you chew. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, you're right. The lashon of the neder, the terminology of the neder of our Mishnah refers to a situation, when one uses such a language, that clearly refers to kalim. And here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. The Ran explains there are three terminologies that we've learned in today's sugya. If I made a neder that I'm not allowed to have hanor from your Michael, then it relates to the food. If I say hanos machil cholai, it refers to chewing the wheat. And if I say hanos hamevil adei Michael, it refers to borrowing your kalim. That's how the Ran learns. The Ritva disagrees with the Ran. And Ritva says that there are two categories. Hanos Michael means food and nothing more. When somebody uses the lashon hanos hamevil adei Michael, it could mean both chewing the wheat and using the vessels. They're all included in that language. Now, based on this Gemara, there's a very, very fundamental shaila in the Rishonim. On Purim, we have to give Shalach Manas. Purim, we have to give Shalach Manas. And the Truma Sedeshin says, how can one be Mekayim Shalach Manas? By giving food. Says the Hilchos Ketanos. Our Gemara says that there's a much broader definition of food. Here we see when somebody says hanom mevil day machal, it doesn't only mean food, it can mean the kalim. According to Ritva, it can mean even chewing wheat. And that's why the Hilchos Ketanos says, one can be yoitz in the mitzvah shalach manas by giving anything that could be transferred into food. So certainly if I give you money, and you could take that money and buy shalach manas with it, I'm a kaim the mitzvah. Or even other things if they could be transferred into food. Most paiskim, certainly the chatchila, don't agree with the Hilchos Ketanos. The question is, why not? Our Gemara clearly says that Hanoah HaMevila De Machel is not limited to food itself. It includes even the utensils. So the Mefarshim explain, by Shalach Manas it doesn't say Hanoah HaMevila De Machel. In our Gemara there was a very specific, interesting language used. Hanoah HaMevila De Machel. And our Gemara, our Mishnah is teaching us that that includes not just food itself, but even kalim that prepare food. But Shalach Manas, we don't have that language. And that's why the Truma Sedeshin says, it's limited to food itself. Rapapa. So Rapapa says, when one made a neder of Hanoah HaMevi L'dei Machilcha, it has a broader explanation, even a broader definition. Sak L'Havi Peiris, a sack in which you put the Peiris. Chamor L'Havi Ela Peiris, the donkey that you carry, that you transport the Peiris on. That filut sanab alma, a basket, is hanoah mevil de machalu, are all included in hanoah mevil de machal. Even though, as the Rishonim explain, these utensils don't do anything in the food preparation, they're only used as a means to transport the food, they're still considered hanoah mevil de machal. The Gra asks, what's the difference between sak lahavi peiris and sinab alma? They both refer to baskets. Why does the Rapapa have to speak about two different types of baskets? So the Gra answers, sack lohavi peiris is a sack that's specifically designated to carry Peirusin. The Tzina Ba'alma is not really used to designate it to be carry Peirus. So I would think that what is Osir, only something that's designated to carry food in. But a Tzina Ba'alma that's not even designated to carry food should not be included. That's why Rapapa comes to tell us that even that's included. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If Rapapa is telling us a Chiddush, that not only the Kalim that I mentioned in our Mishnah are included in the Neder, but even the Sak and the Chamorah are included, so why weren't these items listed in the Mishnah? So the Rishonim say the items listed in the Mishnah represent a bigger Chiddush than the items listed by Rapapa. Because the items, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the items described in the Mishnah are all items that are only used in a step in preparing food. But after the flour is ground, after the wheat is ground, I can't eat raw flour. Here, a bag, once the food is brought to me in the bag, I can eat the food right away. That's why the Mishnah preferred to mention these cases versus the cases Rapapa mentions, because they represent more of a chiddush. Ask the Gemara. By Rapapa, sus lirchavalov. If I made a neder, hanoah hameivil de Michael, may I borrow from you a horse? Or tabas lirisboy, may I borrow from you jewelry? So as Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, people are impressed. The impression you make has relevance. So if I'm coming somewhere, I come in with a fancy suit, fancy jewelry, I come in on a fancy car, people are going to treat me nicer and give me better food. So if I made a neder that I'm not allowed to have Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael, may I borrow from you a horse? May I borrow from you a ring? It may be included in Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael. Or, Mifsuk Amazel Ba'ari, can I take a shortcut to get to, I'm invited somewhere, and I made a neder that I'm not allowed to go have any Hanoah of Michael from you. Maybe by me going through your field and having a shortcut to get to the food is also considered Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael. My, what is the halacha? Toshma, let's learn our Mishnah, answers the Gemara. The last words of the Mishnah were that if somebody made a neder that I'm not allowed to have Hanoah Michael from you, the halacha is Mashalach Chaluk the Talis, I may borrow from you a clothing, the Zomim V'Tabos, different jewelry. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami, exactly what case is the Mishnah referring to? Ilay Mishloi Liris Behen. If the point was that the Mishnah is telling me that I have no intention of wearing the jewelry to make a better impression, to get a better meal, says the Gemara, Tzrich Leim Meima, does the Mishnah have to tell me that that's not included in my nether? What's the connection that if I made a nether that I'm not allowed to eat your food, or have Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael, to me borrowing your jewelry? What does one have to do with the other? Elalav, it must be that what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to? A filo lirisk ben, that the purpose of my borrowing these items from you is that I should be able to make a better impression and get a better meal. And yet the Mishnah says, the k'tani mashiloi, that I may borrow it. So obviously our Mishnah is teaching us that these items, under this circumstances, that I borrowed it to make a better impression, to get better food, is not included in the category of Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael. Answers the Gemara, Loi. Loilim Shloi Liris. I borrowed these items without the intent of making a better impression. Soi Bazoi. If so, what does the Mishnah have to tell us? What does it have to do? Says the Mishnah, answers the Gemara, V'adi Tani Reisha Loi Yishalana. Since the Mishnah gave us examples of different items, that if I made a neder, Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael, I may not borrow. So that's why the Mishnah gives us Tani Sefer. The Mishnah gives us examples of Meshiloi, of items that I might borrow. But it doesn't speak to a case where I'm trying to make a better impression. Maybe in a case where I'm trying to make a better impression, I would be usher to borrow it because it does have, it's considered Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael. Says the Mishnah, the Kol Dovish ain't oisib by Yerchel Nefesh. We learned in the previous Mishnah that if I made the neder of Hanoah Mevil Dei Michael, I'm not allowed to borrow from you anything that's food related. And as we explained, even it's somewhat remotely food related. But let's say something that has no relationship to food. So we would say, I'm allowed to borrow. says the Mishnah, however, Makam Shemaskirin Kiyotz Ben, if these items are rented, Asr. Because if there's a value to what I borrowed from you, so the money I save, I could use to buy food. In other words, let's give a good example, a safer. Let's say I borrow a safer from you. And if I couldn't borrow it from you, and I would have to go buy the safer, or go to a library where I have to pay, it would cost me money. So now the fact that I'm borrowing it from you, I save that money, and I could use that money to buy food. And therefore it's considered Hanoah HaMevil Dei Meichel. There's an interesting shaila in the Achroinim. Let's say this is an item that I would, if I didn't get it from you for free, I would have to pay to get it. But it wouldn't cost me a lot. It would cost me less than a pruta. Is that still included? Or, the Rosh Hashanah goes on to ask, let's say it would cost me more than a pruta, but even with more than a pruta, I can't buy any food. Nowadays, the price of food is high. Is that considered included in the Isra or not? Mechlal, says the Gemara, if our Mishnah here taught us that this is Asr, the Reish obviously holds, Davish Emaskirin, even items that are not rented, really doesn't bring me any financial saving, is Asr. Mantana, who's the Tana that holds that under all circumstances, even where it can't be translated and transferred into money, it's Asr? Or Rav Adi Bar Hava, Rav Elazar, he represents the opinion of Rav Elazar, who we discussed at the beginning of our shiur, says the Vitor, even the most insignificant Hanoah is considered Hanoah. And therefore, if I made a nether that I can't borrow from you, Hanoah Mevil Dei Meichel, according to Beleza, would include all types of items. So Tysus asks the obvious question. We already established at the beginning of our shiur that the previous Mishnah represents the opinion of Beleza. Why does the Gemara have to repeat it? So one teretz that many Rishonim say is that we shouldn't view these two Mishnayis and two Gemaras, there's two separate Mishnayos and Gemaras. It's really one Mishnah and one Gemara. And now Gemara is really building on what we learned at the beginning of our shiur. Others explain, the purpose of the first Mishnah was to teach us that the Rabbonon are makel by Drisus HaRegel. That if I make a nether that I'm now out of Hanor from you, the Rabbonon will say Drisus HaRegel is still mutter, as we learned at the beginning of the shiur. And this Mishnah is teaching us that according to Rabbonon, only Kalim that have a value in my borrowing, that I'm saving money is Asr, and Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Says the Mishnah, Hamuda Hanor Mechaveroi, if I made a nether, I'm not allowed to have Hanor from you, Shoykele Shekele. We know that every year, every Jew was obligated to give the Machzis a shekel. Teaches us the Mishnah, that even though I made a nether, that I may not have any benefit from you, you may pay the Machzis a shekel on my behalf. And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand why. One pshat is the pshat of the Ran, which we'll discuss in a moment when we get to the Gemara, that this represents the opinion of Chanan. The Rosh says that since paying the machzis a shekel is a mitzvah, when you help me perform a mitzvah, mitzvah lav lehenes nitna, and it's not considered that I benefited from you. Upereyas chayvay, you could pay my debts, and we're going to spend a lot of time in the Gemara understanding, how could you pay my debt if I made a nether that I'm not allowed to have Hanor from you? If I lose something, you're allowed to return it to me. And as the Mefarshim explained, because you're returning the Aveda to me is a mitzvah. So I'm not benefiting from you. We're doing a mitzvah. The Mefarshim point out, that even though our Mishnah says, Uperei lo yeschayvay, you could pay my debts on my behalf, that only means that I owe someone money, so even though I made a nether that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, you could go to that individual and pay my debt. But certainly, the Mefarshim will say, I may not go to you and ask you, even though I'm not allowed to have enough from you, could you pay my debts? That would be awesome. Also, there's an interesting machloikus achroinim. What would be the halacha if I owe you money? I made a nether that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, and I owe you money. So the Mishnah says that if I owe someone else money, you could pay on my behalf. And we'll understand soon why. But what about if I owe you money? Are you allowed to forgive that debt? Is that included in the keter of the Mishnah or perei lo yischayvay? It's a machlokes achrayim. Some achrayim say, what's the difference if I owe you, I owe someone else? If perei lo yischayvay, perei lo yischayvay. Others suggest, that's the way the Mishnah Melech explains, that since this is a much more direct relationship, that's why that would not be included in the heter of perei lo yischayvay. And the same with machzalei v'dasai. Even though the Mishnah is saying that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, if I'm not allowed to benefit from you, you still may return the Aveda, because you mean Mekayim a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda, still explain the Mefarshim, I'm not allowed to ask you, let's say I lost something, to go ask you, the individual, who I'm not allowed to have an offer from, to search for the item, that is also. However, says the Mishnah, Mokum Shnoitin Lo Le'eschar, if there's a place that a reward is given for returning a lost item, so if you find my item and you return it to me, so I can't give you the reward, because I give you the reward, you're benefiting from me. So there are no halach is tipl anol hegdish, the reward is put to give into hegdish. It means if I make a neder that you're not allowed to benefit from me, and then you return an item to me, or I'm not allowed to benefit from you, I can't keep the reward. Because if I keep the reward, that means I'm benefiting from you. If I give you the reward, and there was a nether made that you're not allowed to benefit from me, so then we're violating the nether, so the nether should go to Hegdish. So the Mefarshim discuss, how could a reward be given for a Shabbos Aveda? You're not supposed to do mitzvah for financial reward. So the simplest teretz is, the Schar B'Teilah, the time that you spent in returning this Haveda, you could have worked and earned money. I'm paying you for the Schar B'Teilah. But that's not Posh Pshat. Posh Pshat is the reward. So I saw two Pshatim. One Pshat is, just like we find by Shemitah, even though Halacha Midoraisa, is that Shemitah nullifies, absolves all loans. But Chazal saw that this was something that nobody's going to follow. So they came up with the Eitzah of a Prosbul. Similarly here, Chazal saw that if a person returns to me something I lost, if I won't ever give him a reward, nobody's ever going to be interested in returning something to the person who lost it. Why do I have to bother with finding the person who lost it and schlepping it? I'll leave it on the floor. So Chazal didn't want that type of a situation. So that's why, even though truthfully reward should be usur, Chazal allowed rewards to be given. Another teretz that I saw from the Evan Ezel, from Rabbi Zalman, is a very interesting chiddush. He says the din that we're not supposed to get paid for doing mitzvahs is limited to Talmud Torah. Ma'ani b'chinam af atem b'chinam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us Torah, didn't ask us for anything in return. So too, when we teach someone else Torah, we're not supposed to ask for anything in return. However, that's limited to Talmud Torah. Doesn't have anything to do with Hashavas Aveda, and paying a reward for the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is acceptable. Ask the Gemara. Why, and according to the Ran, the Gemara is focusing, why is the halacha that if I'm not allowed to have hanor from you, may you pay the machzis of shekel on my behalf, and may you pay off my debts? Alma, avrucha ariba amahu. All you're really doing is taking a lion, just to translate it literally, off my back. You're not giving me a direct benefit. And as Rishonim explained, avruchi ariba alma is not really halachically considered a hanor. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. Another pshat in the Rishonim is, you're doing a mitzvah. And doing a mitzvah is not considered that you did something on my behalf. Vishari, and that's why it's permissible. Mantana, who's the Tana, asked the Gemara, that takes this approach, that just avruchi ariba alma is not considered benefiting me? Amrab Aisha, zu divrei Chanan. This represents the opinion of Chanan. And the Gemara is going to identify what Chanan says in a moment. Rava says that our Mishnah could foul everybody's opinion. Afilu teim divrei hakol. Why? Because gava mudar hano, the yov amnash lelefra. What's the case of our Mishnah? I made a nether that I may not benefit from you. And I owe someone money. And now you go and you pay off my debt. Says the Gemara that the case of our Mishnah is that when I borrowed money from the person that I borrowed the money from, number Pshatim the Rishonim, They all go to the same point. The person lent me the money saying, I'm never going to pressure you to pay back. Whenever you want to pay back, you can pay back. Or another pshat very similar in the Rishonim is that the person says, you'll never be responsible to pay back. If I'm ever going to ask, I'm only going to ask you Yorshim. So when you pay off my debt, you're not really doing me any favor. Why are you not really doing me any favor? Because I didn't have any pressure to pay off the debt. And therefore, it's not considered that I really had hanor, that I really had benefit from you. And the same by the Machtsa. Shekel explained to Rishonim that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a case that I already sent the Machtsa Shekel. And then it got lost on the way. That mi'ikar hadin, I don't have to give another Machtsa Shekel. So if you go and you do give a Machtsa Shekel on my behalf, you're not really doing me any favor. Because I wouldn't have had to give that Machtsa Shekel. And that's why it's not considered that I'm benefiting from you. But the first teretz that Rav Oishi gave says that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Chana. What does Chana say? The Tanan. The Mishnah says, Masechta Ksubis. Mishaluch l'mdinas yom. If a husband travels overseas, and as the Rishonim say, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's overseas. The husband abandoned the wife. V'amen echra pinas es ishtai. So there's a good soul that goes and supports this person's wife. Chanan oimer ibris ma'isav. I lose my money. Why? Because the husband could say, I never asked you to support my wife. And since you just mavriachari, you just were doing a favor, you lost your money. Nechel kol Allah b'nei kahanim g'daylim. The kahanim g'daylim disagree. V'am yishova kamayit v'yitol. If somebody goes and supports a wife of a husband who abandoned her, the person has a right to ask for the money that he laid out. Why does he have to make a shvua? The Rishonim say, it's only, the shvua really should not be required. The Rishonim say that the shvua is only made because to make the husband feel comfortable that he's not being cheated, that the person spent less is asking for more. Amr Rav Dois ben HaKudas, and Rav Dois ben HaKudas agreed with the B'nai Kahanim G'doylem, Kedivreim. Amr Rav Yosef ben Zakkai, however Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Yofa Amr Chanan. Chanan said correctly, Hiniach ma'isov al karnat tzvi. When somebody went and laid out money for this woman, he had no way of knowing that he's going to get repaid. And therefore, since he had no way of knowing that he's going to get repaid, therefore, says Chanan, he has no right to ask for the money back. Similarly here, when you go and pay off my debt that I never asked you to pay, you didn't know that I'm ever going to repay you, and you have no right to ask me to repay you, and therefore it's not considered that I really benefited from you. There are many halachas that are set around Chanan. Chanan is saying, first let's talk about the language. Chanan says that if you lay out money for this woman, you put your money on the head of a deer. What's the Nich Ma'isval Karen Tzvi? So the Pashup Shad is a deer runs. When you put money on the head of a deer, you're really standing a good chance of losing your money. Here too, since according to Chanan, you can't ask for your money back, you put your money in the deer, it's a good chance you're going to lose the money. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw in the Yechmaisel currency, you're not for sure going to lose your money. It depends. If the deer decides to run, you're going to lose your money. If the deer decides not to run, you're not going to lose your money. In the Yechmaisel currency, it's a shaila, it's a suffix if you're going to lose your money. A third pshat that I saw, just the opposite. We look at this person, according to Chanan, as a very, very poor businessman. He's laying out money for a woman that according to Chanan he can never collect. So if we look at this person, what kind of businessman are you? You lay out money never to get it back? Says the Gemara, Karen Atzvi, Tzvi means Yatzif. What you did really will stand for you forever because you did a mitzvah. This woman was left alone without any means of support. You didn't make any calculation, will I ever get back the money? You see a woman who's a nebuch, and you do what's the right thing. Support her. That's yatziv. That schus will remain for you forever. The Ran says as follows. If when I laid out the money for the woman, I specifically said that I'm lending the woman the money, I'm not getting involved with the husband, I'm lending the woman the money, says the Ran that there, when the husband comes, the woman has a right to go to her husband and say, you left me without support, you're obligated to support me, pay me what I used for support, and she'll repay me. It's only in a case where I said that I'm laying out the money on behalf of the husband. Interesting to note, there's a machloikas Ran and Rashba. Let's say I laid out the money. I didn't come to the Daf Yom Yishir. I laid out the money for this woman, and I didn't specify, not saying that I'm doing it on behalf of the husband, and not saying I'm doing it on behalf of the wife. And as we just explained, there's a very big nafkamina. If I'm doing it on behalf of the husband, according to Chanon, I have no right to collect the money. If I'm doing it on behalf of the wife, I have a right to collect the money. How do we look at a situation where I didn't specify what my intent was? The Rashba says that when I didn't specify my intent, we assume that I'm doing it on behalf of the wife, and I have a right to collect the money. The Ran disagrees, and he says if I didn't specify, we assume that he did it on behalf of the husband, and according to Chanon, I don't have a right to collect. The Rishonim also say that this halacha, that if I am us, that if you pay a debt on my behalf without me asking you, you have no right to come back to me, and according to Chanon, and ask for the money, is even in a debt where there's a mashkin. They also say that even though we just said a machloikis of the Ran and the Rashba, how do we view a situation where the person who laid out the money on behalf of the wife, without specifying what his intent was, how do we look at it? Everybody seems to agree that if the woman's father laid out the money on her behalf, his intent was certainly to help his daughter, not just to help the husband who abandoned his daughter, and certainly then we say that the husband would have to repay the wife, and the wife would have to repay her father. Says the Gemara, Rava lo amik Rav Yishai. Rava did not explain our Mishnah like Rav Yishai, because the kamokim l'masnisik de rehakol. Rava did not want to explain our Mishnah like Rav Yishai, because according to Rav Yishai, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Chanan, and Rava did not want to explain the Mishnah that it should only follow the opinion of one man, the Amar. But if Aisha asked the Gemara, that explains that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Chanon, why lo yamak Rava? Why didn't he explain like Rava? That even represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, that since it's referring to a loan, that nobody's pressuring to pay back, so you certainly didn't do me any favor. Answers the Gemara, Gzeirah shaloi lifra v'shem loi lifra. So the explanation of the Gemara is as follows. We explained, Rava explained, that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbanim. So why, when you paid off a debt on my behalf, isn't it considered that I benefited from you? So Rav explained, because the Mishnah is referring to a debt that I have no pressure to pay back. Because when I borrowed money from that individual, he says you can pay me whenever you want. And therefore it's a no pressure debt, and you didn't do me any benefit, because I would have never, I didn't really have to pay it. Says Rabbi Yishai, what would be if it's a debt, which most debts fall into that category, that I do have to pay? So there, Rava couldn't explain our Mishnah like the Rabbanim. Says Rav Oishia, that since the Rabbanim hold that by a debt that does have a date by which I have to pay, according to Rabbanim, you can't pay that debt on my behalf. The Rabbanim would have made exeir that even a debt that I don't have pressure to pay, you can't pay on my behalf. Because since most debts are debts that I do have to pay, they would have said you can't pay any debt on my behalf. And that's why Rav Oishia doesn't want to explain, like Rav Rava, that the Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbanim. The Gemara, Masechet Ksubos, gives a different explanation why Rav Oishia can't explain that the Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbanim. And they say, the Gemara says a beautiful explanation. Yes, our Mishnah is referring to a debt that I have no pressure to pay. When I borrow the money, the person said, whenever you want, pay me back. No pressure. But at the end of the day, nobody likes to owe money. So at the end of the day, when you paid off my debt, you took that embarrassment away from me. Till now I live with the live knowing that I owe somebody money. And it's embarrassing to owe somebody money. I see him in shul, I see him in the street, and I know I owe money and I'm not paying him back. So you now benefited me that I no longer have that embarrassment. And therefore, says the Gemara, that that's considered a benefit, and that's why Rav Oishia couldn't explain the Mishnah like the Rabbanon. He had no choice but to explain like Chanon, that since I didn't ask you to pay the debt, it's considered mavriach ari, and I'm not obligated to repay you.